Right, in the centre of the hallway here, we have a picture of a man called Richard Gambier Parry. He ran all the communications for the government code inside the school in MI6. Underneath is a write-up about some of those activities. Like all things in Bletchley Park, picture imagination will enlarge, multiplied by 100, you might get nearer the truth. There's hardly an event that occurred in the Second World War that Bletchley Park was not involved in. Richard Gambier Parry was a very powerful and respected character who begged a lot of questions in his private life. His family lived in Gloucestershire and used to go back and see them on a fairly regular basis. And he always turned up by car. But hold on, you're in the middle of a war. The only traffic on the roads is military. So where did you get his petrol coupons from? He would never say. Secondly, he always arrived in civilian clothes and, of course, would never tell his family what he did for a living. So eventually they came to the conclusion he was a black marketeer. It's with horror at the end of the war they learned he had the rank of brigadier and received a knighthood for his contribution in running such an efficient communication system on behalf of the authorities. Richard Gambier Parry. Would you like to come this way a little bit more, please? Three further photographs. On the left, Commander Dennison, who remember came from the First World War, guided the operations through the 20s and 30s, and had the foresight to set up this wartime operation. Succeeded by his deputy, Edward Travis, in 1942, Edward Travis continued through to the end of the war and went on to become the first director of GCHQ, when he in turn was succeeded by other eminent people who also worked here during the war years. And in fact, the last incumbent to take that office, having worked here, was actually in office in 1978, a man called Loomis. Sadly, having spent some 30-plus years of his career in the business, he gets nothing. His successor got the knighthood. In the centre here, a very talented man, John Tiltman, who by circumstance I only ever mentioned once, but he has a most incredible pedigree. Offered a place at Oxford University at the age of 13, fought in the First World War, gained the Military Cross in France, joined military intelligence and was posted to northern India after the war, where he learnt the art of eavesdropping, but in particular the art of code and cipher breaking at which he excelled. He taught himself Russian and Japanese. He was involved in breaking the first Japanese codes and first Japanese cipher machines, not the Americans. We were over 3 years in advance of them. Not to say that the Americans didn't excel during the Second World War. Came back to Bletchley Park, was the senior army officer on site, achieving the rank of brigadier. And in fact, from 1943, he was the senior cryptanalyst following the death of Dilwyn Knox. You have to remember, this was a top secret war site. It was not a military camp. Many heads of department were in fact civilians. As a consequence, you were not obliged to wear uniforms as such, except for the Wrens from a date. That's another story. At the end of the war, he goes off to GCHQ, and we obviously know nothing about his post-war activities, although we have a pretty shrewd idea what it's all about. Luckily, I've met somebody who knew him. Somebody also worked here during the war, but because of the cell system, they never met. They both went to GCHQ, and again, because of the cell system, they never met. They finally met on secondment in America, and I'm assured that John Tiltman worked with pen and squared paper, achieving results faster than anybody else in the business. A very talented man. As a civil servant, he didn't retire at 50, 55, 60, 65. He retired at 70, and then, would you believe, was employed by the Americans for another 5 years. He's undoubtedly one of the finest of the finest. But you do have to remember that we have a lot of characters at Bletchley Park, and the enemy set a lot of different challenges. So in the anteroom over there, we have what we call the Hall of Fame, and some of the major characters are identified, and you can see where they responded to different challenges. It was teamwork, lots of people hitting different ideas and making this such a successful operation. As we walk out on the left, there's a quilt hanging on the wall. Childhood members of Bletchley Park, I will refer that to that later on. If you get a chance, do come back and have a look at it later on. We're very proud of it. It's rather fun. Can I now ask you to leave the mansion, assemble your back to the grass facing the front, please? Thank you.